Okay, we'll do it live.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Lassie, with the Wrestling Heat Podcast. We are back with another episode, another fun-filled week in wrestling. We're here with my boys, Matt and Moise, Matty Ice. Moise, what's going on, brothers?
What up? How is it going? It was a pretty good week of wrestling, I would say, and that's a fact of life right there, right? Isn't that right, Moise? That's a terrible feud for him. That's a bad feud for him. You're right.
I don't think it's a feud. I think it's a one-off. That's what I'm hoping, at least.
It's a bad one-off, even in my opinion. But we'll get into that.
Bronson, I know you just started watching NXT recently, but Bronson's been being pushed pretty strong. So
has he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Interesting thing. The lineup for WrestleMania week has actually been shown this week. I got Monday Night Raw. You have Fall of Fame Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday has both NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. Wednesday is on USA. Thursday is on Peacock. Of course, NXT UK on Thursday. SmackDown Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, WrestleMania. That's going to be a long-ass week.
Do we know how long each WrestleMania is going to be? Is it going to be 3 hours or is it going to be 4 hours apiece?
Last year, it was 2 hours. A piece.
What?
Well, 2.5.
No way.
No, it wasn't.
No way, bro.
It had to have been at least three and a half hours. Went
30 minutes. Yeah, no way.
Yeah. I'll give you $1 if that is correct. But
you guys keep talking. I'm gonna pull this up.
Okay, you pull it up. I think that the making of the WrestleMania week so big like that is actually a really smart idea on WWE. I don't want to see everybody do it. Like, what I mean is I don't want to see AEW copy this because one, they don't have enough talent to do something like that. And they don't have enough like exposure on networks and stuff like that to do it as well. But for WWE to do it with WrestleMania, I think it's a really, really smart idea. WWE is a gigantic thing. It's so fucking big, right?
And it's the first big event that has live crowds for WWE. So I'm wondering if they're gonna do a mix of the Thunderdome and live people for WrestleMania, but I doubt it. I think it's just gonna be straight people. But I'm excited for it. I'm hoping
part one was 3 hours, part two was 3 hours and 20 minutes.
That sounds closer to being correct, Moise. That's about right.
But no, I think it's a good thing because the WrestleMania card got so stacked. It went on to 4 hours at one point. So I think it's a breath of fresh air to have different things on different nights, have different titles on different nights to defend it. That's it. Condolences out. Go out to Becky Lynch and her family. Her father just passed away today. That's the sad part of the news.
Did not hear that. That is very sad. Condolences.
Condolences goes to them. And also, the end of this month, Peacock will be taking over WWE Network. So anybody...
What do I have to do to make sure that I keep watching WWE Network? I have a subscription to WWE Network right now, what does that mean?
You can do two things. You'll either get morphed into it. If you get morphed into it, you're still paying $9.99. But if you're not. Peacock... I know what you're thinking. I just did this today, so I know what's going on with it. Okay. So if you go to
WWE... your password, Moise. Just give me yours, and we'll be solid.
Aren't you using my network anyways?
No, we just did it that one time. Shh,
quiet. Oh, okay. if you go to Peacock and tell them that you're coming from WWE, they'll do it all for $4.99 a month.
$4.99 a month?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
Unless you want the Peacock Premium, which is the same price as the WWE Network, it'll be $10.99 a month.
I get with the Peacock Network? Is there anything that's supposed to be good on Peacock? Does anybody like?
They have a lot of movies and shows.
Lopez.
Who's that?
George Lopez. He's a comedian.
I hate George Lopez. I am not a fan of George Lopez. He's one of my least favorite.
Family Matters.
Do you think I'm that white? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Family Matters is a never mind. Anyways, let's continue on with the show, ladies and gentlemen. Raw's highlights.
Did I do that?
I think the only thing that Family Matters. Speaking of Raw, I think the only thing that we can say about it was the ending segment with AJ Styles and Randy Orton. I am still enjoying this long-awaited return from The Fiend, and I think Alexa Bliss is doing a great job at hyping this, and Randy Orton is selling it pretty well.
How are we supposed to keep this under 50 minutes if we're talking about Raw?
Yeah, we're not talking about Raw.
I just said highlight.
Well, I didn't watch Raw at all, so I got nothing to say. So me not talking is going to save us a hell of a lot of time.
I thought the Randy Orton thing was stupid. That's all I have to say.
Anyways, NXT.
I agree with Moise.
NXT.
Why are we going to NXT? We got to go to AEW first because AEW is coming off of a pay-per-view.
All right,
a pay-per-view just happened.
Okay, let's go. AEW.
We did the review of the pay-per-view. If you did not watch already, we have a video talking all about AEW Revolution. You can find it right here on Facebook, right here on YouTube, right here on Twitch. I don't know if Twitch actually keeps the backlog video. So go on over to youtube.com/weeklywrestlingheat podcast or just weekly wrestling heat, I believe is how you find it. And go watch our review of AEW Revolution. It was a pretty mixed bag of things that we said. There was some good positive. There were some good highs. There was a lot of lows from every one of us, mainly Elias, but that's all right. That's okay. That's the problem with that.
And also, we do have our podcast, our show on available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms as well.
So if for some reason you don't want to look at Moise's sexy face, then do that route. But I recommend just sticking with the video. Because look at that. Look at Moise. I'm just glad you wear t-shirts. Otherwise, we'd have to like get X rating.
I know, dude. Like, this is the only place you'll find me with a t-shirt on.
All right, very quickly, because we did want to try and cut through some of this stuff a little bit quicker than usual, I think, is let's talk about AEW's go home show, come home show. What do you call the show after the pay-per-view? Is it the come home show? Or people call it
the follow-up episode.
The follow-up. Yeah, I've heard some different ways to refer to it. I don't like that it's like the come home show is the show before the pay-per-view, which I always thought was weird.
I thought it was go home,
come home, but I don't understand that, like, you're going home to the pay-per-view. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Matt Jackson picks up a clean loss. Rey Fénix picks up a clean as a silver dollar spoon whistle win versus Matt Jackson, which I thought was really interesting for their build for the title match that's eventually going to happen between the Death Triangle and the Young Bucks. I'm not a fan of the Young Bucks. I've gone through extensive talks about this, but I thought this was a very good, highly contested match that I thought I knew what the outcome was going to be. I thought Matt Jackson was going to win this match, and to see Rey Fénix get a really,
Go ahead, Moise.
Well, Fénix is a single star, so Matt Jackson doesn't lose and look that weak losing. The announcer said it too, and I kind of agreed.
I guess that makes sense, but I thought Matt Jackson was picking up the win. I did. I thought Young Bucks was going to go over.
I thought honestly that the outcome was going to be that. I think they're trying to build new feuds.
Yes.
So I think starting this out with Fénix getting the win is a good thing because of the fact that they needed to do something positive with Fénix after the tag team turmoil or the tag team battle royale. It adds more momentum to Fénix and Pac.
I completely agree.
And it builds a storyline for them as well. So
that's what I want to say about this week's episode of AEW. So, you know, first thing we talk to each other before the show starts and we ask each other like, hey, what'd you think of the week or whatever? And this week I said I liked both shows. I enjoyed AEW better this week. Moise said the opposite. I think Elias also felt the opposite this week as well. The reason why I enjoyed AEW better this week is because this week felt like a first episode in a new season. That's what this episode of AEW felt like to me. You started new feuds. You started new characters. You started new, different things that are happening within the world. And then you also get a few of the people in the background that like were already feuding and what's happening with them now that happened last week, blah, blah, blah.
Elias.
And the best picture of this for me was Cody Rhodes getting a really quick, easy win and looking pretty good doing it. And then immediately getting called out by Penta. And that feud is a feud I didn't know I wanted. But when Penta said, Cody, shut up. When he did that, I was like, this is the feud I didn't know I wanted. But fuck yes, I want. Are you not excited for this feud?
Go first, Elias. I'll go after.
And I enjoyed it because especially the delivery, using the translator, and then just saying, "Hey, I'm gonna beat you so bad that you're not gonna be able to carry your newborn daughter." Baby. Maybe I was like, "Oh," and you know, me and you, Matt, being fathers, we're like, "Oh, if somebody told me that, I'm beat your ass." Like,
right?
It's on and popping from there. So I think that was a good dynamite. to blow up in front of Cody's face and kickstart that feud, which I'm excited to see. Penta is one of my favorite wrestlers out in AEW, so I see great things coming from those two. I'm not taking away anything from Cody.
Interesting to see the Lucha Brothers get separated the way that they're being separated right now, with Penta doing a singles run and with Rey Fénix still in a tag team. With Pac, obviously, so it's definitely a different dynamic compared to the Lucha Bros and stuff like that. But yeah. This is a feud I didn't know I wanted. That's what I like about this one in particular, is I didn't know I wanted this feud until it started, and then I was like, yes, I want to see Penta and Cody. This is going to be a good feud in my eyes.
So, first match, I just want to make one point. The way that Pac sold that super kick outside was awesome.
Really? I actually didn't like it.
You think he's down too long?
I think it was down way too long. I thought he was down because the problem was, it's not that he was down for too long. It's the fact that his hand was up too long when he was down. Like, I like this when they do this. I think it's great, especially in the beginning. But like, when you are down and the camera is still on you for some reason and you're still sitting like this and you know.
Selling it like that, yeah.
Exactly. It was a little extreme. It was a little extreme in my book. And I'm the guy that loves everything they do.
And then the Pentagon thing I really like, just because I feel like they look for the most annoying sounding bilingual guy they could find and made him the translator.
Cody! Shut up. I love that. And the translator was good. Penta says that if he was the one in there, he would have hurt you way more. That was good.
And I think Cody made it really believable when they took the camera off of him and then did the beeline. But this is where the technical difficulty started, because the first mic didn't work for Tony Schiavone.
Yes. Go into that real quick, Moyes. You're the one that I think is picking up on this the most. Like, it is definitely annoying you the most out of the three of us here, at least. So I want go ahead and talk about it, because it's worth saying. It is absolutely worth saying.
So for me, here's the thing. I didn't mind it happening there. I was pissed that you come back from commercial and you're throwing Ethan Page out there for the first time. I can't hear a word of his promo. He's supposed to have a quick match, which actually has two storylines going on in it, the Nightmare Family breakup and Ethan Page debuting. And I couldn't hear Ethan Page's promo. And ain't no mountain high enough, and defense is being santed the whole match.
What happened? Was there a concert happening like right next door?
I think the Stadia. I think they just played the Stadium soundtrack by accident. Then I don't know what happened, but
it was weird. It was weird.
Matt, you've been in radio. Like, they're out of the honeymoon phase. You can't keep doing this.
I agree, and I think that you saying they're out of the honeymoon stage, I think, is honestly the best way to put it, because there's nothing wrong with me saying that I don't care about it. Like, I did care about it in the sense that I would have liked to have heard Ethan's Page actual promo a lot better. I don't think it affect the match quality, like, to me, just because, like, after I realized, like, oh, this is screwed up, I just didn't care anymore. But, like, I also don't not care about it either. Like,
I thought you'd be more upset because when Dustin came out, the music was still playing. The defense stands were starting. And then I thought you would have been like, dude, this is
Dustin's. I thought it was a basketball game. I thought there was a basketball game happening, because at one point, I swear to God, it was like, defense.
Maybe they're teasing Shaquille O'Neal coming back and feuding with Ethan Page.
I don't know. It's one of those things that when you look at it, Moyes is right. They're out of the honeymoon period. As much as I may be a heavy AEW critic, I hold them to a higher standard because of the fact that I know what they're capable of.
It is time to be held to a higher standard.
And it's 100%. Like, if you're trying to compete with WWE, stuff like this can't happen. And even WWE, when they have technical difficulties, they're able to pick it up quickly and not allow that stuff to continue to happen.
It's so much more rare for WWE to have a technical difficulty that it is a lot easier to forgive overall. Like, there's always going to be the person that's like, oh, look at these idiots. They don't even know how to run their stuff after this long. But the majority of people are totally fine with just letting it roll off the back and not care anymore, because it happens so far and in between. But the more this happens like this, every week so far, there's been a microphone glitch. This is a big oversight problem with the volume of the stadium noise for whatever reason. But like, they don't get many more shots. They really don't. They don't get many more shots from people that enjoy the product, because it's hard to enjoy the product when the product is hard to enjoy.
And I will say, casual fans, you know, that's what you got to assume everyone's watching for the first time. If you two, if you're flipping through the channels, like NXT's got a commercial. So you go to the, you go to TNT and you see Ethan Page talking, but you can't hear a word of what he says. You're going to switch back.
Well, you're just not going to watch it. I completely agree. Ethan Page looked really good. Lee Johnson looked fine. QT Marshall and the Dustin Rhodes saga of the breakup of the Nightmare Family, I am interested in. I am. It is not the most
interested in that.
Let's say that again.
I say I'm most definitely interested in that, because especially how it started with QT just jumping out the ring like that. In the tag team battle royale, it did add a little heat to him. So,
and Ethan Page also. Also, Ethan Page using one of Matt's favorite finishers.
Yep, not a fan of the way he pulls it off. I don't like the toss. I'm not a fan.
I don't like the name.
I know, the ego edge. Come on. But that.
I thought it was Needle's Edge.
No, okay. It's Ego's Edge. Ego's Edge. Needle's Edge is way worse. Now I know why you didn't like it. I don't like it when they toss, because it's a different move in my book. That's more of a verified, like a throw bomb of some sort.
A border toss by Hernandez back in the day.
Yeah, it's definitely not an edge, though. An edge, you have to fall onto the edge of their shoulder blades. That's the point of it. Like, that's why I think of it like that. So I'm not a fan of the name. Okay, and then we skipped over by accident, because it already happened in the show before we talked about it. Let's talk about the promo cut by Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, which was a fantastic promo.
I loved it. I think Elias is on this.
Well, no, I like the promo, but I just don't like the fact that they're making it seem like they're still not owning up to it, and they're making it seem like they're kind of brushing it off in a sense.
I disagree, though.
I do too.
Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston legitimately called out Kenny Omega and Don Callis and said, like, you guys built a shit bomb, and that was stupid. They literally said it was stupid, and I thought Eddie Kingston's reason for passing out, like he said in the promo, the promo was a great freaking promo.
Yeah, no, the great promo was great.
Eddie Kingston looking at the camera and being like, I don't care what you think. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people that understand the way that I'm feeling. And then he goes off and says, like, it's because I was in prison and I didn't. And the guys were like, you're going to go to Sing Sing Boy and all this other stuff. It's like, I'm totally fine with that explanation, because it's an explanation, which is the problem. When Don Callis came out with Kenny Omega and they didn't give an explanation, they just acted
I think I enjoyed the promo. I think the second part of it, when having Don Callis come out and make fun of it, was kind of what killed it to me, because you had a promo that explained everything and made the audience happy, and then you had Don Callis and Kenny Omega come out there and make fun of it, and it was just like, why? Like, it's stupid. Don't do that. Like,
it's one of those things where you know they're heels. It's like, we get it. We get it. You guys are really, really mean people. It's kind of like when Chris Jericho and MJF beat up the Young Bucks' dad. It's like, we get it. You're bad guys. You're so bad.
It's also because Kenny still has fan support, and I think they're trying to, like, completely kill the fan support. But
that's not a bad way to do it, to be honest with you, because that was not only that,
I did want to talk about I could see Ethan Page being managed by QT Marshall going forward, too.
I can see that too. That's it would be interesting to see, but I kind of want to see him just stay without a match.
I don't think he needs it.
Yeah, he doesn't need one.
The only thing I didn't like about the Don Callis Kenny Omega segment, I loved Eddie Kingston comes down. I love that he punches Kenny, and Kenny sold it fantastic. I loved that part of it, and I loved that they're speeding him up. I love Jon Moxley comes out, starts brawling around as well. The thing I didn't like, and I didn't like it till much later, actually, because when I first saw it, I was fine with it. I didn't like that Christian Cage came out.
That was my only denominator by that one, because I feel, especially when he tried to do his finisher on Kenny Omega and then picked up the title, I was like, are they trying to give him like an edge run in AEW? Kind of.
I don't know about edge run, But like, the weird thing is,
because you know,
how convoluted did they just make the title scene now? Like,
yeah,
I liked the idea of doing Kenny and Eddie. I like that. I really want to see that, especially because if you do it right, Eddie comes out the top baby face of the entire promotion, like Moyes was saying on the review of Revolution, right? Like, they can make Eddie the top baby face of this entire promotion.
The Bollywood hero. The Bollywood hero.
Don't say that ever again, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going very inside here, and this is not going to happen, but this is what I think is going to happen. I think Eddie and Moxley are going to get the Impact title, so Moxley can work that very limited schedule where he's only filming once a month. And I think Christian's going to go for the main title. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't want that either. And it's not that, you know what?
I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen.
I'm super happy that the kill switch is Christian's finisher in AEW, by the way. I was very excited to see that. Because that's one of my favorite finishers. The outwork switch. I bet they call it kill switch. I bet they call it kill switch. They called it kill switch in Impact, didn't they?
Oh, because it's Impaler in WWE. It's the Impaler.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't mind seeing Christian in the title run eventually, but they're speeding it up too much. And that's why it's giving me that Edge comeback by, because Edge is going for the WWE title against Roman Reigns. So it's like, it feels like they're putting him in the title picture kind of to kind of compete with that. It's like that, that comeback story.
I disagree with that. I don't agree with that. This is Edge's second comeback. Just so we're on like the even numbers of comebacks and such. And I don't like Christian getting involved in the main event scene, because I don't, one of the things that AEW tried to sell us on very early in its storied history and stuff, was that wins and loss matters. How the fuck can wins and loss matters if somebody who hasn't had a match is capable of competing for the World Heavyweight Championship? That is a problem.
You can have Christian be a jobber on Dark and he's 1-0. So he's undefeated, right?
Yeah, not quite. That's not how their wins and losses are supposed to be measured.
Well,
I don't even think they're following the win-loss stuff.
Right? Well, I know they're not. I know they're not. I'm just talking like nerdy me caring too much about the product that they don't care enough about. The next match that happened was the I want to talk about this only because of the karaoke segment. This was Dr. Britt Baker versus with Maki Ato and Nyla Rose versus Hakuta Shida and Thunder Rosa and Rio Mizunami. I did a pretty good job. Okay, so here's what happened. Is Moyes told me that I was going to hate the karaoke. He said, you're going to hate this karaoke and you're going to hate this gimmick, right? And I was like, I'm probably going to hate that gimmick because the karaoke gimmick sounds dumb. And then before I saw it, I watched this whole documentary about Miki Ato and her whole history and her rise and her story and her character. And I'm kind of in love, it turns out, with this juicy wrestler who I thought I hated all of their styles. And I actually really dig the failed idol. And I like the karaoke in the beginning. So I will own up to me. And that is who I am.
Every day this week, Matt, I am going to sing a Bollywood song, karaoke, and send it to you until you hate it.
Oh, Lord.
Please don't. Please. Well, I just hate Bollywood more. I'll just dislike Bollywood if you do that.
I think you'll make his dislike for Bollywood.
This is not going to help your case to make me watch Half Girlfriend with you shirtless.
You already have to, by the way.
I do not have to.
Anyways, I thought the match was decent. I think they're getting on track with. They're starting to get on track with adding more storylines to the women on the shows.
Women need eventing night is a big deal next week.
Their main event in AEW Dark.
St. Patrick's Day Bash or whatever they're calling it.
Is it Britt Baker versus
Thunder Rosa?
Thunder Rosa lights out match.
Lights out, anything goes match. That's their main event of Dynamite next week.
It's gonna add a lot of pressure to see if they could deliver or not, and that's the thing. And
they definitely picked the right two women, and I hate to say that because it almost sounds wrong because their world heavyweight champion is not even going to be involved in their first women's main event match. Like,
can you imagine the AEW marks if WWE waited till this was announced and it's like, you know what, we're gonna give you the Toni Storm match for the title next week. in the main.
That would have been pretty. That would have been pretty good troll. That would have been a good troll.
So, but yeah, no, good match overall. Yeah. Well, decent match overall. I
it was
still
fine.
Like,
it was very much fine, and that's like all you can say about
the majority. Regardless of the karaoke. Yeah. Regardless of the karaoke.
That was A+.
I hate it. Anyways, I've never been this disinterested in Britt Baker.
Very quickly, Darby Allin versus, we got to get through these. We got two more segments and then we can talk about NXT. Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky, TNT championship title. Very good match.
That was match of the night for AEW.
Oh yeah, by far. It was definitely going to be the match of the night too. Like if you look at the card, but, definitely a good match. Definitely good storytelling. I actually legitimately thought Darby Allin tweaked his knee at first. I legit thought he did. He sold it very, very well until the referee just let it keep going. And I was like, oh, he didn't do nothing. That didn't happen. No, Matt, stop marking out. Cause that's what I did. That's what I did for just a second. I'm interested to see what this heel Scorpio looks like. Do they change his name? Do they do a little bit of a change? Like Scorpio Knight?
No, he'll look great on Team Taz. That's exactly what
Scorpio Dark. No, he's not going to Team Taz. Oh, there's a lot of team ups that we should also maybe quickly just throw out there. Matt Hardy Brand took on the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny, which I'm excited to see what that looks like. Adam Page looks like he's completely on with the Dark Order, right? Like he's legit part of Dark Order at this point. I would say.
I think I'm the only one that hated the Hangman Page segment because Five is after John Silver. Five is my favorite member. And I'm like, God, I hope they don't turn Five heel after this. Like, I'm hoping
it was a weight limit problem. It was just a weight limit problem.
He weighs the least in the group.
John Silver probably doesn't weigh too much. He's pretty
John
stocky.
John Silver's more ripped than him. Yeah,
he's very stocky.
I'm done with AEW Five turn heel because Five is the one that always brings out negative one. So Five has to stay.
What is your thoughts about heel Scorpio Sky, Moyes?
I mean, you know, I kind of called it, but
you did.
You know.
But are you? Do you think they're going to do something with it, or do you think this is going to fall pretty flat? How do you do this right so that it doesn't fall flat? Because that's kind of my one thing about it.
I legitimately think Ricky Starks is getting kicked out of Team Taz. Scorpio Sky is coming in. That's their first feud.
That'd be interesting if it really is true. I mean, he did call the heel turn. So if he calls this one and he's right, then it's like. Moyes, are you working for AEW?
Did you get that contract like you thought you were gonna? Is that what happened?
He hit up your only Pakistani Twitter follower. He's like, oh, this is my guy.
Oh snap. Main event segment, I think, which was the highlight of the night. I really did enjoy the Inner Circle Work Council, and then how Sammy came out and ousted MJF, and how they were gonna jump him. He was like, "I wasn't working on taking over your inner circle. I was working on creating my own." And then all of a sudden, the lights go out, and then FTR, Sean Spears, Wardlow, and Tully were just there and started beating down the inner circle. Is this the face turn we were looking for the inner circle?
And beat down the inner circle though, like that chair shot that Sammy took. Where he threw his head through the chair.
Oh,
looked
the
really
bad. This area.
Yeah, that was intense. That was intense.
Is this
a face turn for the inner circle? That's an interesting question because I didn't think of it like that. I didn't
think of it neither, but then afterwards I was like, wait, are they turning the inner circle face or what's going on? Because it did catch my interest because of the fact that you got this mega heel team now. Which, you know, it includes FTR, Sean Spears, Wardlow, and MJF.
All of those people are more heels than what the Inner Circle was ever, not portrayed as, because they were definitely portrayed as being real heels, but were ever cheered as.
Yeah, because like, Sammy has a lot of face support.
Yeah.
Jericho can go either way.
Easily.
Santana and Ortiz have the same. They could go either way
because they're fun, right? Because those guys are the fun guys, so like they can easily go face without any problem. And Hager is kind of a fun guy too, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened, but he is.
Did Hager and Austin Theory share locker rooms this week? And they just like Hager coming out with sunglasses. I was like, what the hell is this? And then Hager, it was really cool. Like, what was really cool about
hanging
this,
out? At AEW, like all the time, right? Like he's just
that's
there.
Basically what he's doing. But the really cool thing about this that I really liked was the rub Wardlow got from killing Jericho.
Agreed.
He was the one. Yeah, and we complained about Wardlow losing to Hager. I think he's going to get his win back.
And here's the funny thing
about it. That's the match that should happen.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the funny thing. When it first started, you saw the Titantron, and it was just MJF and Jericho. And I was like, oh, snap. They're going to probably kick out Santana and Ortiz and Hager, and Sammy's just going to come and scoop them up. And then they're going to be down. You know, my prediction was that they're going to kick out Santana, Ortiz, and Hager, and it was just going to be Jericho and MJF and Wardlow. And then when that happened, I was like, oh, because I was watching Dynamite on the computer, and I was watching AEW over there. It caught my attention when the lights went out because I was into the Finn Balor versus Adam Cole match. So that was a good storytelling, and it brought a lot of what I like about AEW, because they sometimes do some unpredictable stuff WWE sometimes lacks. So was a good.
And Jericho is very, very behind Sammy Guevara. He's the one that told Sammy not to work the Impact dates that he was supposed to work last month. He's the one that told Sammy, he's like, dude, just fly back. Don't worry about it. So, and ever since day one, he's like, Sammy is the guy I want to be the face of this company.
I just want to say that I am interested to see. So there's this one, and there's one more feud that happened this night that got started. Something orienting within Lance Archer and Sting. Though I don't know if it's going to be Lance Archer and Sting or anything like that. I think all this is just Lance Archer setting himself up to do something either with Darby or just something in general in a larger capacity. Like, I love what he did. He came out and he's like, if you're not going to give me time, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to take more than that.
That's the only thing that irritates me.
I think whatever they have Lance Archer do next, whatever it is, you have to have him win. I completely agree. I think they do.
I hope so, because it takes away from the stock of Lance Archer.
It takes too much now, because you can lose the ladder match. That's fine. It's a ladder match. It's unpredictable. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's cool if you win, but it's fine if you lose. But he needs some wins now. He needs some things that are under his belt, like winning against Rey Fénix to get into the match. Great. But then you lost the match, right? So you have to get some other things happening for you. We need to get out of NXT or AEW so we can talk about NXT a little bit. I thought this was a very good show, especially directly after a pay-per-view. Like I said, the reason why I enjoyed this show more than NXT, which was also a very good show, was because this show felt like the first episode of a new season. And
I'm
going to
remember this after WrestleMania. What? You better be on the same hype for Raw, SmackDown, NXT UK when they all start after WrestleMania. You better be on the same hype.
Yeah,
I want to talk about 205 Live feuds. I want to talk about 205 Live feuds.
Watch all this noise? Why do you watch all this?
Let's get into NXT.
I only watch NXT UK when Elias tells me to, because he's my friend and I like his judgment. And I don't watch 205 Live.
Elias, why do you watch all this wrestling?
Because I like wrestling. I mean, I watch Impact, I watch New Japan, I watch ROH, I watch MLW. So it's like when I'm at work and I'm actually sitting in my office doing work, I have it playing. And while
Elias is going to get fired if his boss listens to this. Let's go into NXT.
It's okay. Put it on the computer next to you. It's fine. All right. Let's get into NXT. Let's get into NXT. Disappointment of a lifetime for Moyes, right? You either have to admit that Shotzi looked pretty good, or you have to be angry that she's now a champion. Which one is it?
So I love how we started with this. The only thing I disliked about this was Raquel and Dakota only having the title for half a show. But yeah.
Why do that?
Yeah, why not just say we're going to redo the finals for the titles?
Yeah, that's what I think. They
but that's what they should have done. I love the fact, because I've been calling Raquel and Asuka at TakeOver Mania.
I was like, Raquel,
Raquel and Io is going to be a TakeOver Mania match. They already teased it, and it's going to be, and Shotzi and Ember, I like, because I think they're going to lose to Candice and Indy, but Shotzi looked really good in the match. I thought her hot tag was awesome. Those punches and kicks he was throwing, I thought was phenomenal. Best I've seen her look. Now Ember Moon, it's just kind of there. Like, I don't know why she's.
I disagree. Running out.
I disagree. Running out. I
think stop. You're underselling what she is there.
I think she's a great. I said this a while back. I think that's a great pairing because she's learning a lot. Shotzi is learning a lot from Ember. And you could tell on her progress. Look how she did this week. It's a very positive thing that is
going on with that. I think Indy is learning a lot from Candace. So they're my favorite teacher-student duo.
Yeah, but just because you have a favorite doesn't mean you can look down on one of them and say that it doesn't exist. Like, Ember is doing a great job with Shotzi, and she's doing better constantly.
She's like, doing the better. She's doing what the veterans at NXT are supposed to be doing, and that's
Shotzi's learning.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, they look good together. It's a good team of like veteran esque. Because she's not. I wouldn't call Ember Moon a veteran. I know that she's been around for a long time. I'm not saying, not trying to discredit her work that she did before the WWE. All you indie marks out there, but in terms of like, you know, people knowing. Like, she's not necessarily a veteran, but she's filling that role very nicely with somebody that she's taking and performing very well with. They have a very good chemistry in this tag team. Moise, why do you hate so much? Why? She's a champion. A champion!
This is the first time I saw star potential in Shotzi, but I don't see it in... I don't see it in...
You're
Ember,
crazy like, about that. You are crazy about saying that about
Ember.
Like,
I think Ember is as dull as the paint that Matt has on his wall.
That paint is fire.
Yeah, that paint is pretty nice.
This paint is fire. What are you talking about right now? Let's move on. Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. I saw some hate online about this match because they thought that Toni's a fan favorite. Toni is a babyface to the moon and back. People love her everything. People love everything about Toni Storm. I agree. I'm with them.
It actually shocked. I was on Twitter during that match, and it actually shocked a lot of people that she lost.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
What are people watching? Yeah, like, I love Toni, but I didn't think she was gonna win.
You didn't think she was gonna win? I kind of
thought
there
was
a
possibility.
I thought
that
she could.
The way that the storyline was progressing, it did. Look
even
like
the way they, even the way win. They. Even the way they teased Raquel and Io for like a couple of months now, you thought Toni was going to win?
Those kind of teases go under the radar very quickly. Not as much in NXT. Not as much. But they still do. Okay? Like, you can't hold anything over a week old in any wrestling promotion at all and expect it to like be remembered by everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with what you're saying. I get where you're coming from. And if it does pay off, I'll totally like be like, Moise, you were right. Like, you've been right about so many things. Moise, I just need to listen to you more. Moise, who should I be betting on in next week's MMA fights? You tell me. I'll just do it.
You know, like, when Io was walking out, you saw the look that Raquel gave her. So that kind of set it up, right?
It went under the radar because the match itself was pretty fire. I enjoyed it from start to finish. I really did like that... that it wasn't a pinfall victory. It was a tap out. So that kind of made the match a little bit more special to me.
And it ends the feud. Like, it puts a period on it. Yeah.
I've always thought submissions are the way that you end a feud. I completely agree with that. Well, what do you think about Chuck Taylor asking for one more match and doing like a weird gimmicky arcade match?
Anyways, back to NXT.
Okay. Pete Dunne versus Jake Atlas.
Half the video game systems aren't going to work because it's on AEW.
What does that mean? I don't understand the joke.
Your
microphone cut out so I couldn't hear the punchline.
The electricity is going to go out for like half the system because they're going to have too many video game systems plugged in.
Pete Dunne is money, and I wish they would stop treating him like anything less than money.
You don't like the Pete Dunne and Daniel Bryan feud we're about to get?
Are you serious? What? When did I miss that? What are you talking about?
I'm the best technical wrestler that only puts one person in your mind.
Yeah, but he's in NXT and what? No.
He's not going to have a Mania match. Brian's not going to have a Mania match, guys. Look at the card. Brian.
You think he's going to have a takeover match?
Yes, and I think he wants it.
He did say that he did want to go down to NXT, so...
Don't get me excited like this, boys.
So okay, the only other person
I can see it being is Roderick Strong, and I don't.
What the hell do you mean they don't have time to put Daniel Bryan on a match? It's two goddamn days of WrestleMania.
Dude, the card is filled out basically already.
It's not filled out.
They're like from what I've read in reports today, and I hate reading reports.
Everything's in pencil.
It's not solid. So the only match that we know we're getting so far is Sasha versus Bianca and Roman versus Edge. So we still don't have the Universal title. We still don't have U.S. Intercontinental.
Isn't it 2 weeks away?
Braun and Shea, or is it a month away?
It's literally 3 weeks away. Less than three weeks away.
Is this weekend? Is this that Fastlane?
No, next weekend.
Next week is Fastlane, and then what day is WrestleMania?
April 3rd and 4th, I think.
April 3rd and 4th? No way.
No, they put
10th and 11th.
Yeah, 10th and 11th. They pushed it back.
It has to be 10th and 11th. Okay, okay.
But I like this match with Atlas and Dunn. I think Atlas was fine. Pretty decent, too.
It was fine. It was a good match.
This is how squash matches should be. Both people sign. It doesn't go more than 10 minutes. That's what a squash match should be.
No, squash match needs to be no longer than three minutes.
Oh yeah, no longer than three minutes.
I'd give you five. A real squash needs to be like 30 seconds.
Well, Cody did. I think a real squash.
Yeah, my favorite segment of the night was, and I think y'all might not agree with this one, the tag team match between Grizzled Young Veterans and the Legado del Fantasma, with MSK coming out and costing Grizzled Young Veterans the victory. And then,
my favorite thing of the night was right before this, when Gordon Devlin said he's facing Escobar next week for a title. Title versus title.
I wish they would have waited to NXT TakeOver for that.
I think it's going to be a dirty end. And Matt, I don't think Matt's watched Gordon Devlin, so Matt's about to be mine.
Yeah, I know who Gordon Devlin is. He's like the little Finn Balor. He's like Finn Balor's little brother. Yeah,
basically, kind of.
The first UK tournament for that title was fire, and he was one of the great competitors in it. And I've seen his stuff. He was on 205 when they first started up a little bit, right?
You don't watch 205? I did.
I used to. Moyes, you don't know what's happening in my bedroom. Knock it off.
You've got kids, bro. You're Heath Slater. You ain't got time for this.
So here's my prediction. So there is also because I'm trying to pinpoint certain things on NXT because we're kind of running out of time. But Thatcher and Ciampa are going against the Imperium guys. Imperium is trying to recruit Thatcher. So I think that's going to end up happening. Or something like that's gonna happen.
I think we're getting Ciampa and Walter because Ciampa called him out.
Ciampa's going over to the Imperium. Ciampa's gonna attack his friend.
So here's my thing about it.
Don't ever trust Ciampa.
I think WWE is slowly starting to get the UK wrestlers to come back to the US. Uh-huh. So I predict this, and this might be interesting to predict. Finn Balor's going to lose the title to Karrion Kross at TakeOver, and then Walter's going to show up, and it's going to do unfinished business with Finn Balor, because before the pandemic started, there was a tease of Finn Balor feuding with
going to take over Ireland to
face Walter. So something like that's going to happen eventually, and I am excited to see that, because if it does happen, you might see Finn Balor become dethrone him as the NXT UK champion. Anyways, back to the Legado
Walter
Fantasma
is still the UK champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
When did he win that? Wasn't that against Tyler Bate or no?
Two years ago, nearly. Almost 2 years already.
Does he wrestle pretty regularly on NXT UK? Like, does he?
He's had some bangers with Igor Dungovov or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I should watch a few more Walter matches, because I was not sold on Walter when he won.
Ilya Dragunov, watch that match.
Ilya Dragunov. You'll enjoy that one. Okay. Anyways, that match, that segment was pretty nice to me because of the fact that Rizongo had unfinished business with Legato, and then it added on to the feud between MSK and Grizzled Young.
And I think we're going to get a tag team gauntlet match at TakeOver, Stand and Deliver.
First night, I think it's first night probably going to be that, and then the second night is going to be the winners of that match.
I think we're going to get a tag team battle royale during it, and I think Elias is going to love it. He's going to be like, this is like a really good idea for a match. This, what do they call it? A tag team royal battle? Is that what they called it? That's a great idea for a match time. I like it.
Hey, I actually like the AEW one, so I'm okay with liking it.
Really?
This.
I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan of it. We're anyways, the opposite, Moise.
Anyways,
I'm hot and you're cold. I'm yes and you're no.
You said you liked the way John Silver and Jungle Boy looked in it.
Yeah, but that's just two good looking young men that are performing well.
Looks good.
Okay. What else we got to talk about? Is that it? Karrion Cross shows up at the very end of NXT the little head poke.
We're not going to talk about the Zia Lee, Kaden Carter. I'm not really interested in that. I like the match, but I wasn't really interested in it.
Dude, how crazy that both crutches were used at the same time on both shows. Exact same timestamp.
No way.
Yeah.
Were both shows live this week?
Yes.
That is very crazy, then. That is weird. Do you think they called each other? Oh, it's your Big Show idea. How Big Show's a mole?
It's Big Show and Christian, bro. I'm telling you.
He's like, hey, they're going to do this thing during this match, so be ready about this amount of time period.
That's pretty interesting.
I did like that Casey got a little bit of fire in her. I did like that.
Yeah, it made it.
Do people care about Xia Li? Do people care about this thing? Because this is the one thing that WWE does sometimes. Where they go like too deep into the bag of like, hey guys, you know, wrestling is like not real, right? And it's like, okay, we all get it, but we don't want to watch that. Like,
but I think
I kind of think Boa more in this than I did before.
Oh, you like it?
I like Boa. I'm still on the fence about the Xia Li stuff. I need to see where it goes.
But, yeah, I think that's what everybody's thinking right now. I think it's everybody's like interested in it, but they're trying to see if it pays off. I was a little bit excited to see Casey come out and have that little fire on her, and it made them look good. But that's about it. Anyways,
Casey and Kaden are stars.
Yeah. NXT Championship match, Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. I think this was a takeover worthy match that happened. It has a main event. I really enjoyed seeing. Kyle O'Reilly come out and spook the crap out of Adam Cole to get to the finish was really nice in my opinion. I like how Kyle O'Reilly went ham on Adam Cole, especially after Adam Cole tried to low blow him. It was perfect storytelling from that point to carry on that storyline. And then all of a sudden to end the show, you have Finn Balor standing in the ring and just being like, you know, what took you so long? And then Karrion Kross just appears behind him. I think that is a good way to start off that feud. And I'm interested to see where it goes.
I think this is the best Kyle O'Reilly's looked because, like, I like him in the street gear. I think he looks good in the street gear compared to how he looks as a wrestler because he looks very scrawny and small. But in street gear, he looks like a badass.
He's gotten a little buff. He's gotten a little buff too. Like compared to before he left on medical leave, he looks really buff. So I think I'm excited to see this. I think that we're gonna get Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole at TakeOver, and we're gonna get Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor at TakeOver. So I'm interested to see where that's gonna lead to. I think that's it. Unless there's anything else we gotta say.
Alex, we're gonna stay 10 minutes past because there's one wrestling thing that everyone's talking about that I know Matt hasn't watched yet, and I really want to talk to you about it.
What? Okay.
The Shane McMahon promo. I want to talk about the Shane McMahon stuff.
Oh, I want to talk about the Shane McMahon promo. I watched it.
How bad?
It was really bad.
It's time for Shane to stop. Like, it's time for the same way that, like, Triple H has finally found the great in between of, like, being on camera occasionally, but then for the most part, not being on it. And when he is on it, Triple H finally knows that he should not be the focus of a promo anymore.
You know, Shane needs to learn that. He's the face, right?
Who?
they're teasing AJ and Triple H on social media.
How rude to AJ Styles that like two of his What? No,
AJ wants his match.
No way he asked. No way he asked for it. Like wanting it, he asked for it because like that's the good company guy he is.
He asked for it on Twitch, which isn't WWE at all. Remember? So, well, here's what I want you to think about. AJ,
I don't want to talk about this.
Dude, that's a big money match for AJ. You're in a semi-main event.
But it means nothing. It means a payday. I get that. I'm talking purely from being a wrestling fan who wants to watch wrestling. And I actually really like Shane McMahon. I love Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles. Okay. I loved Shane McMahon versus The Miz a couple years ago. I like those matches. But I like AJ Styles. Here's the thing: is AJ in the twilight part of his career? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then I guess I don't mind it. I guess I need to stop thinking of AJ as being a current superstar and not just a legend superstar.
So if you realized about a lot about AJ Styles right now, they've put him as the like on the mid-card kind of level, but you know, still putting over other people. So he's gotten to that point in his career. Yeah, and so I think he's gotten to the point of his career where he's cooling it down and getting ready to go, because the last time that they talked to him, this last contract that he signed with WWE was his last. So if he does decide to ride off to the sunset, he's gonna take a producer / probably trainer role in WWE afterwards.
You don't see him showing up at AEW for a big payday,
dude. I think he's perfect for an NXT producer, bro.
Well, yeah, we can think that all we want, but like
it will depend, because of course, you know, a lot of his buddies are on AEW. So if he does go to AEW,
that'd be a hell of a payday.
Yeah, but the last time they asked him about it, he said that he was done doing the wrestling thing after this last contract is up, which I think ends in the next 2-3 years.
It was a 3-year contract. Yes, he still has 2 years on it. And he said he wants to face Adam Cole and Triple H, are his two big ones.
Adam Cole, AJ Styles. I like that.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, AJ's pretty much up there in age as well. So,
does Adam get called up after TakeOver Mania?
I don't know. That's
a good question. Does Adam want to go up?
That's true.
He's already beat a lot. He's already had his spotlight moment with Survivor Series. So, you know, it's whatever. I mean, it's basically what he decides or what the company decides as well.
All right. I need to go. I need to go make sure my kids are doing okay. They didn't interrupt. Elias, my kids did not interrupt the show. That means everybody watching this, you need to go and buy a lottery ticket. Get a lottery ticket for tomorrow, because it's amazing that my kids, maybe my kids left. Maybe they left the house. They're just like, we're out of here, Dad. See you later. Bye. Got to go find out.
We'll see. Either way, thanks for joining us, everybody. I know this is a quicker episode than usually, but we did have a Monday episode, so we talked about a lot of us that need to be talked about on Monday. Join us next week with another full, fun-packed episode.
Do you guys want to tell them yet or no?
What?
WrestleMania week, we're going to have a 6-hour episode.
Everybody. Thank you so much for watching.
All right, guys. Have a good one. As always, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch, Weekly Wrestling Heat. And until next week, as always, peace.
Later.
Bye.